Welcome to FinSight, the global financial institution sector podcast. My name is Richard Powell, and I'm the global knowledge lead for Baker McKenzie's Financial Institutions Group based in London. And welcome to the second part of this episode, where we discuss tokenization in financial services. Once again, I'm joined by Konrad Ropel from our Frankfurt office and from my Zurich office, Yves Morclay. Konrad, Yves, welcome back to FinSight. Well, in part one, we covered what can tokenization and tokens be used for? What are the benefits? And why is this a technology to watch in 2025? Today, we'll be looking at the legal issues which financial institutions are grappling with as they explore tokenization use cases, the practical challenges and obstacles, and finally, a little more about Project Guardian, on which Baker McKenzie has advised. So Yves, coming to you first, if I may, as we are lawyers, let's get to the legal issues which our financial institution clients are dealing with. Although technological solutions may seem to operate autonomously, they need the backstop of law to provide legal certainty.
Yes, of course. I'd flag up in particular the following. First, we should recognize that despite regulatory developments, the legal analysis of the nature of tokens is still in its initial stages. Although most tokens at the end of the day recreate a traditional commercial or financial transaction by digital means, there are many new and interesting forms of tokenization that play directly into the business model of the issuer, like it was rarely seen in traditional commerce. There are myriad ways of thinking about and classifying all different kinds of tokens and derive from that a certain regulatory treatment. However, there is little international consensus and coordination between lawmakers and regulatory authorities still today. International organizations could provide guidance on legal issues raised by tokens, but we have only seen sparse standard setting and guidance, except for very specific fields such as anti-money laundering regulation. A further topic may be the validity of transfers. Under Swiss law, specific changes in the private law framework, as the introduction of the ledger-based security, create a solid regulatory environment with legal certainty. However, as with regulatory questions, there is little international coordination and standardization regarding the validity of the transfer, so the actual transfer under private law. The fact that potential buyers or intermediaries need to engage in due diligence regarding this aspect increases transactional cost and may be detrimental to the efficiency target of tokenization. In Switzerland, the Capital Markets and Technology Association, CMTA, does excellent work to enable standardization and certifications, therefore lowering transaction costs. But such efforts are so far rarely seen on the international level. I would also flag up real-world tokenization as an example. This is an interesting field for many financial institutions and other players. However, the civil law rules of possession and ownership vary widely across jurisdictions, and laws do not outright allow the tokenization of chattels, so mobile items, or real property. For instance, in Switzerland, ownership in chattel is still conveyed through an act of transferring physical possession, and real property can generally only be transferred by way of amending the land register. This being said, there are many innovative legal ways around this, but these may be costly and not always achieve the desired results of real-world asset tokenization. Dubai's regulator has recently clarified the legal framework for real-world asset tokenization, and in particular the exchange listing of RWA tokens, but such initiatives regarding real-world assets are still relatively rare in the global landscape. Lastly, security interests over tokens based on fiduciary transfers or pledges with transfer of control is another aspect that may be important when dealing with financial institutions. But again, this taking of security varies from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, and regarding tokens is still in its infancy. Perhaps I could ask Konrad to speak further.
Yes, thank you. Thanks, Yves. So, yeah, you were basically referring to the relationship between law and new technology, which comes with, you know, a degree of level of complexity that is, I think, also very exciting at the same time, right? I mean, that's why we, like, two of us and, you know, are excited about this and are involved in so many projects in this in this area. At the same time, it's probably also worth to mention that Baker has really a big strength, right, in these areas. We have experts around the world, in Asia, in Latin America, in the US, in Canada, in Europe, so really across the globe, a very motivated, very nice team of lawyers, and we really work closely on these cross-border projects, and it's very interesting to see what happens in these jurisdictions, which is to some extent quite similar. But on the other hand, it's not, as you say, it's not harmonized, right? So we would still have these different approaches and also the difference in detail. So it's a very exciting field. In my experience, it's helpful to think of three levels in digital assets projects to untangle this complexity, right? And that's probably something you know, that can help in structuring these projects. The first layer is what I call the commercial layer. That refers to the profitable use case that will deliver, you know, benefits to the institution, bank institution, or stablecoin issuer and clients. That's sort of the spark of an idea, right? So for example, that's someone saying, let's create instant settlement in a securities transaction because the use case is so big and the inefficiencies are so obvious. And the same applies to other bankers who say, well, we focus on payment and let's create 24/7 automated payment rails, right? The advantages of that are also quite obvious. So that's what the business wants to achieve, the business goals, basically. That's the first layer. The second layer is the operational or technical layer, which shows us the possibilities from a DLT perspective. So what's the underlying technology that is used? And what I see in practice is it's really flexible, right? It's really a lot what the technology can do. Can be, you know, even blockchain can have like different shapes and forms, can be public, it can be private, it can be permissionless, permissioned, it can be a hybrid, even, you know, public blockchains can be structured in a relatively closed way. So it's really not the technology actually that sets the limits, but rather provides for the opportunities and is typically quite flexible. That's another question that in practice around, you know, what outsourcing companies do we need? Is it proprietary technology, or should we, you know, team up with other players in the market? But the technical layer itself is quite flexible. And the last layer, the third layer, is the legal layer, right, which takes into account the regulatory civil law framework that eventually needs to provide for the legal certainty, Richard, that you mentioned in the beginning, to the contemplated product or related transactions. And for me, the challenge and at the same time the trick is to balance and combine these layers. So when we have initial discussions with clients around these projects, I try to focus on thinking through these three layers, and it really helps to untangle the complexity. For example, if the use case would be to create a tokenized bond, it may not be so important for the business or the commercial layer, or for the client perspective, right? How exactly the digital security is linked with the token from a legal perspective. So the sort of the legal techniques and the ways how the law and the workarounds that we can offer to achieve a commercial goal are very often not so important from a client perspective, which is something to bear in mind. Because sometimes I see projects that start actually with a very distinct idea of how these things should actually happen. But it turns out then over time that we can achieve the commercial goal by doing things just differently, right? And we would have the same outcome. That also applies to the transfer of assets that happens from a legal or technical perspective in various ways, or can happen in various ways. And that's really, I think, an exciting piece of advising in this area to really have the opportunity to combine so many aspects and design considerations and really help the clients in developing a product that can be brought to the market. So it's really about meeting the commercial goals and do that in a legally safe and sound environment. And then again, it helps to have such a strong team across jurisdictions on a global scale, because we can always have discussions and we can also look what happens in other jurisdictions. And I think that's a big strength of Baker McKenzie here as well.
Yeah, that's very interesting, in particular hearing about the three layers or levels. Anyway, so let's move on to discuss what some of the more practical challenges and obstacles are to greater adoption of tokenization, whether for funds or payments. Conrad, to come back to you.
Yeah, so thanks. What's lacking at present in particular, and we already spoke of this in the beginning of this podcast, it's interoperability. Difficult to spell, difficult to pronounce, but very important. So interoperability of tokenized assets. And that can be everything, right? It can be securities, it can be payments. It really refers to the need for interactions between existing platforms and closed loop solutions, which we see quite often in the market nowadays. And these, let's say, island solutions or closed loop solutions, again, can be a securities transactions platform that is run by a bank, but it's not really, connecting to the rails of the traditional financial market. It can be payment system or payment solutions that are based on tokenized deposits or stable coins, which still have the challenge of interacting with the traditional financial system. So my expectation is that the traditional financial market and DLT infrastructures are likely to coexist for at least another decade or even longer, right? So it will not be a shift that happens from one day to another. We are pretty confident that the technology will prevail and will push through, because it's so can really bring these benefits and efficiencies to the market, which basically helps everyone. And it's also not surprising for a new technology such as DLT that it relies on comprehensive interaction in order to develop its full potential. It's quite normal to start with these island solutions, but we are on a way to really facilitate interoperability. We see a lot of initiatives in the market from the regulator across the globe, as well as from big market players, investment banks, that try to partner and cooperate with other market participants to create an environment where we can really leverage the potential of the technology. And maybe finally, very quickly, because it's important for clients, right? Cost. So it is a challenge that still, we see pilot projects. It's an investment. There are investment costs for a first mover, which are typically high. But eventually, the efficiencies of tokenization at scale will lead to reduced transaction costs for all market players. But there's a way to go. While we already see and advise on again, interesting cooperations between platforms, such as and securities, transactions platforms, or payment systems. Still a way to go, but we're optimistic, and it's a quite exciting journey, to be honest.
Great. Allow me to take up the limitations around the available infrastructure. These include, in particular, scalability, interoperability between systems, as you already mentioned, Konrad, the integration with existing systems, and perhaps most important, the need for extensive development and testing to prove the degree of reliability and resilience that is expected by financial markets participants, and in particular, institutional players. Now, capital markets infrastructure players have yet to show the concerted will to build out tokenization capabilities or move whole markets onto the DLT. There are no larger open platforms available yet for the trading of tokenized securities. While some platforms exist, they are either relatively restrictive in terms of rights they allow for trading, or they are closed systems, meaning one or only a small group of financial institutions can participate. Open and interoperable systems exist mostly on the drawing board for securities, but they have not yet had sufficient traction in the international markets. However, recent market signals in Switzerland are quite positive. There is SIX Digital Exchange, or SDX, a stock exchange that operates on the DLT and that is becoming more and more open for transnational business as well. And then we have BX Digital, which is an affiliate of the stock exchange BX Swiss. They had recently obtained the first DLT trading facility license in Switzerland. This came out of one of these changes to the Swiss law framework I talked about earlier. And this particular type of license allows for the custody and trading of DLT-based securities. Also, there are further promising DLT trading facility license candidates in the pipeline in Switzerland, and therefore, I would say those market signals here are quite positive. The players are looking into these license solutions, and they also want to become partners for institutional investors, which is a rather positive step for the future, I believe, and hopefully this will then also go to the international level.
Thanks very much. Well, Yves, we're coming to the end of this podcast, but before we finish, I'd like to touch on a substantive issue which Baker McKenzie and you yourself have been involved with, Project Guardian.
That's right, Richard. In 2023, we advised UBS, SBI Securities, and DBS on a certain project within the Monetary Authority of Singapore's Project Guardian. Project Guardian by the MAS is a collaborative initiative between regulators and the financial industry. The project aims to test the feasibility of applications in asset tokenization and DeFi while managing risks to financial stability and integrity. This particular subproject you mentioned within Project Guardian concerned the world's first cross-border repo and natively issued digital bond, fully executed and settled on a public blockchain. The participants successfully executed a live pilot for the issuance, repurchase, and redemption of digitally native Swiss law securities using stablecoins issued under Japanese regulations and tokenized certificates of deposits under Swiss law. These transactions were recorded on a public blockchain and featured atomic, so instantaneous, settlements. This had also a live balance sheet effect, for the financial institutions involved in the trade. So it was not merely a dry run. This is one aspect that made this project special, as many such projects are rather simulations than real-world applications. It was indeed exciting to be a part of such an innovative transaction where Swiss ledger-based securities were used as a positive legal framework for the cross-border tokenization of securities and means of payment. Further, this was a cutting-edge blockchain transaction between three large financial institutions in three fundamentally different jurisdictions across the globe. However, I would say it also showed that it is rather challenging to bridge three completely different legal and regulatory systems, and that the tokenization market certainly would benefit from international collaboration and standard setting in that area. However, as Conrad, I'm quite confident that we can master the legal and regulatory challenge in this area.
Well, thanks. That's a great project to hear about and to finish with much promise. Well, I'm sure that we'll be hearing more about such tokenization use cases this year as market confidence grows and the barriers that we've been talking about are eroded. Well, thank you so much, Conrad and Eve, for talking to us today. And if you would like to know more about this topic and about our role in Project Guardian, more details can be found on bakermckenzie.com in our newsroom. Also, do take a look at our new tokenization series, part of our Next Decade in FinTech thought leadership publication, again on bakermckenzie.com. We hope that you have found this podcast useful. Do check out our other FinSight podcasts. And as always, please do reach out to your usual Baker McKenzie contact or any of today's speakers if there are any specific areas or projects you would like to talk through. We are always more than happy to help where we can. Thanks again to everyone for listening, and we hope you can join Baker McKenzie for the next episode of FinSight.